first six verses. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. So tonight I will introduce these verses, the introduction to the doctrine of incarnation, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Let's all stand, please, as we read the scripture. Here in 1 John, beginning in verse 1, chapter 4, says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So tonight we will take a look at a phrase that is repeated, although in a different term, but Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again, Lord, as we can freely come before you in this place. Lord, bless our time. May you speak through us, through your word. And again, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And in the letter, John is talking about Christ becoming man. So in early Christians, there are issues very early. Christians worship Jesus from the earliest days, yet they remain monotheists. The second problem that they have to face is the nature and identity of Jesus. We're heavenly, yet he possessed an ordinary human nature. Dr. Bowder mentioned a story when he was still a student. His professor said that Christians are not getting the teachings that we needed about the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Trinity. And so he said he was perplexed because he heard it from the church, like us, you know, I'm sure. But the professor is saying something more, because the professor is saying something more in depth when it comes to the doctrine of God. And so because the early Christians did not have the terminology, the early Christians did not have the language to express the scripture. So tonight we are encountering the same, but this time it's the doctrine of incarnation. And so the nature and identity of Jesus, we know from the reading of the scripture, heavenly, yet he possessed an ordinary human nature. How can they be monotheists? And they were. They remained monotheists, but yet they were worshiping Christ. And so the issues, the initial problems will come from outsiders primarily. And so how did Christian then come to know that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Messiah. And why did they come to the conclusion that Christ took on a human body? Well, who is Christ? And from where did he come that he should descend and take on humanity? It is a fundamental teaching. It is a teaching that will come to be known as the incarnation, one of the fundamental Christian teachings. So here, according to John, this is the decisive line between Christian and Antichrist. And this line is drawn at the confession or denial of the incarnation. Much like when Paul drew a line of the gospel, he said, if Christ be not raised, in other words, if there's no resurrection, we are all miserable and we are preaching lie. So he drew a line that if there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity, there is no good news. John did the same in looking at who this Jesus is. Who was Jesus of Nazareth? According to him, this is the line that is drawn. So why is this teaching then fundamental to our faith? First of all, Jesus Christ come in the flesh, took upon himself a human form. I believe, number one, incarnation is revealed by the Spirit of truth or the Spirit of God. If you go back to the scripture, let's take a look at verse 2. So here John said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, it says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, it's not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. I'm just going to read the highlight in verse 6. He says, this hereby you know we, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is the dividing line. It is revealed by the scripture. The Holy Spirit testifies of these truths. Jesus Christ is God incarnate in human flesh. This is not a human invention. This was known or unknown to man, and this could never be known by man on his own. This truth exists beyond human perception. And this is only known by the revelation or by revelation from God. So the early church has those initial problems. I remember reading Justin Martyr. He was trying to explain because why there were questions. But primarily there were questions from pagans. Mocking them. Who are you with worshiping? They know you're worshiping Christ. Are you not a monotheist? So can you explain what you're doing? Can you explain who this Jesus is that you are worshiping, and yet you have the Hebrew scripture that is very clear? Shema, there's only one Lord. And so they came to be known as the apologists. They were the defenders of the faith. Because this is only known by revelation from God. Then how can we explain these? So it is a revelation of truth. It is a revelation from the Holy Spirit. Peter said this in 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It's not invented by man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Yes, this truth is not and cannot be perceived by mere sinful human being. Only the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, could reveal it to man. We read this, the Word became flesh. John said in his gospel, in verse 14 of chapter 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They wrote this because the Holy Spirit guided them in all truth. In 1 Timothy 3:16, a classic passage, God was revealed in the flesh. And without controversy, 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. So here we have a teaching that is revealed by the Holy Spirit. This teaching cannot be perceived. It cannot be invented. Because otherwise, why you invent something we cannot explain? It's really illogical in a sense. And so here are the early Christians defending this faith. What do we find? What else do we find? Secondly, this doctrine, the incarnation, is confirmed by the Word of God. It's confirmed by the Word of God. Back in verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because, and here's the reason, many false prophets are gone out into the world. In verse 2, it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. And John said, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. So how do we test? There are early Christians answering this question. Who are you worshiping? Can you explain then who is this God and who is this Jesus Christ? We see that also in the Apostles' Creed. When you look at the Apostles' Creed, it's very much biblically written from the Scripture, but yet they will have to find the language later on. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all they have to say is, we believe in the Holy Spirit, at least at that time. And so, how do we test? How do we distinguish truth from error? How should we determine what is true? There's one answer from the Scripture, through the Word of God. One answer from the Lord Himself, Matthew 22:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God. Sometimes I think about, what if we are living during those days? We are living during those days where we read the Scripture, we are monotheist, and we have all kinds of questions about who are we worshiping? Who is this Jesus that we are worshiping? And I can imagine opening the Hebrew Bible and said, there is only one Lord. There is only one God. So yes, the early Christians has to deal with the revelation. And this revelation is written down. So what do we know? Why is this fundamental to us? It's because it's revealed by the Spirit of truth. It is confirmed by the Word of God through the Scripture. In the Gospel of John, he said this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They knew it's revelation from God. How do they explain that? I'm not sure they have the correct language at that time. Because all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Because at least when you look at this, we know this man is not an ordinary man. This Jesus, the son of the carpenter, is not an ordinary man. In verse 14, he said, and the word was made flesh. So now John is bringing this word with a human body. And he dwelt among us. These eventually are the scriptures we are reading today. These are the testimonies of John, the testimonies of Paul. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. So at least we can see this Jesus, this Christ, did not come or originated from this world. At least the conclusion, he is from another world. At least. Romans 1:3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And of course, Philippians 2:7, he said, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. So the idea that he must be someone to be humbled. And what? And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And so as early worshipers, we are looking at the revealed word of God, and they are holding in their hands at this time, more than likely, very early, they have the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so they're looking at this, and they are the witnesses of the apostles, and they are defending Philippians 2:7, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator. This sounded like the writer of Hebrew, but Paul wrote this. One mediator between God and man, who? The man. Christ Jesus. It seems like it's saying there is a sense that this Jesus experienced what we experience. That he could be a mediator. I believe it was Augustine that said it. I'm not sure, but he said the mediator cannot be just a man, or else he will not understand God. And he could not be just God, divine, because he could not experience what man has experienced. He must be a God-man. So the witnesses of John, the witnesses of Paul, the testimony of the author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. That what? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In verse 17 it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest. I think we heard that this morning. He's a merciful and gracious God. So what do we find? Early believers must have wrestled with this. But to them, it's probably simple. It's revealed by the Spirit of God. It is confirmed by the Word of God. By this time, they have at least the letters of Paul and the Gospels. Who is this Jesus? Why do we believe this is God in human flesh? Because it is the testimony of Christ himself. the Son of God and the Son of Man. In fact, his favorite title is the Son of Man. And so here it is. He is from heaven. Here's what he said. He came down from heaven. He is from above, and we are from beneath. He is not of this world, nor of this world. No wonder when they were hearing him, they gnashed their teeth. They are looking at someone claiming to be more than a human being. John 3, verse 12, 13 said, Christ said, if I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even who? The Son of Man, which is in heaven. And then John 8, 23. And he said to them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world, ye. I am not of this world. So when we look at this, Jesus has come in the flesh, that John is saying, there are a lot of issues very early in our history of our Christianity. And this is the testimony. It is revealed by the Spirit of truth. It is confirmed by the Word of God. They stood in those truths. John 17, 14, Jesus said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In verse 16, it says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There is a sense of when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are, in a way, translated to his kingdom. Yet we're still here. But until then, Christ said that we will go through some tribulations in our lives. Somehow we cannot and will not escape the consequences of sin. We do escape the penalty of our sins when we trust him. Who is him? Who is he? Why is the incarnation again central? Third, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The incarnation is believed by the people of God. It is believed by the people of God. John said, ye are of God, little children. And then in verse 5, he said this, that ye, but they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. In verse 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. It's amazing when we're witnessing to people, you'll find sometimes, why can you not understand? I know we have relatives that we witness to, and Cliff mentioned this, that the doctrine of man and the doctrine of sin. When we look at the scripture, God looks at sin differently than we do. But when God opens your understanding, then you realize, wow, just like the apostles, who then can be saved? Because they were looking at all religion are really works salvation. Salvation comes at the end. You begin your initiation and you do your good deeds until the end. But here's the problem. In the end, there is no, and there's still no assurance. Christianity is the other way around. You are accepted in the beginning. But you do good works because you are already accepted. In the end, it's just a journey. So when we look at these truths, we find God is to open our understanding. The early Christians, I would say Christians, who, if you are saved, you at one point realize this is not of yourselves. It is not of works. And again, in verse 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God, what? Heareth us. By the way, folks, these are all written down now. It is now confirmed by the word of God. Yes, John, Paul, Hebrews, Christ himself, those are words that we hold in our hands now. And they are believed by the people of God. It is a miracle when someone comes to light, because men love darkness rather than light. There are some young pastors when I go to Philippines that seem to confuse means from the cause. The cause of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are means to believe, to repent, to trust, to come to faith, to turn. They seem to confuse the means from the cause. So here, when God opens your understanding, that I think that you realize what is the cause of your salvation. It's not that you believe. It's not that you repented. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not confuse the cause from the means. And so we have here God's people. And this is a trajectory of the scripture. When God opens your understanding, we first what? Hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God's people believe God's word and obey God's word. John 1:1 said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. This is revealed, this was written down, and the people of God believe them, not because of themselves, but because of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth enlightening us. In other words, that is the light. Until this light turns on, we are in darkness, and men like us love darkness rather than light. So why is this central? It is revealed. It is confirmed. It is believed by the people of God because of the Spirit of God. John 1 verse 2 says, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. It's almost like John is begging the hearers. This is what we've experienced. This is what we have seen. This is the man that we handled, we held. In verse 3, he said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, he said this, and these things write we. I think the apostles wrote to us, write we unto you that your joy may be full. Yes, it is written. Yes, it is from the mouth of God. And yes, from the mouth of God is the revelation from God himself. This teaching is denied by the Spirit of truth. That's what John said. This is the defining line. This is the dividing line between Antichrist and the Christian. It is denied by the spirit of error operating through the philosophies and wisdom of men. It's rejected by the wisdom of this world and twisted by the cults. They twist that. Why? It's very easy to mock someone believing in this. Who is this Jesus that you are worshiping? And yet you have the Hebrew scripture in the beginning. I mean, we find that in the book of Acts. Christians believe the doctrine not because they were able to explain it, but because it was revealed by the Holy Spirit and confirmed by the scripture. Jesus said, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have receive them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Anselm said this, it's faith seeking understanding. It is faith seeking understanding. It's not the other way around. The early Christian apologists did not engage in this, you may say, confrontation or argument, and then decided what is true. No, they engage them because they have the truth. It's faith seeking understanding. So what else? So far we said from 1 John, we say, what is this teaching that Jesus has come in the flesh? What is this teaching called incarnation? Why is this a fundamental to our faith? Why is it essential? It's revealed by the Word of God. It's confirmed by those who wrote and given the Word of truth. It is believed by the people of God. And there's number four. The incarnation is defended by the Church of God. I mentioned this already earlier. Early believers, sometimes there are historians that will say, hey, the early Christians made Jesus God, right? He is not. So, especially you go to universities, no, they're teaching about the scripture, teaching about Christ. No. Early Christian, you can just look at the book of Acts and the letters of Paul. But again, there are two things. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe this is a revelation from God? John said this is the dividing line. Paul was even clearer. If he did not rise from the dead, we are preaching to you a lie. So yes, they defended it because it's the truth from the scripture passed down to them, and the church, the universal church. In other words, during those days, we come to Waukegan, there's a small church here. We come to Chicago, a small church there. They have the same belief. They probably have the same gospels, copies of them. 1 John 4:4, it says here, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. And I think the early Christians have this. We are already victorious. And so I don't think they're afraid to open that discussion. Someone accused Christianity of a circular reasoning. Say, why do you believe that? Well, because the Bible says it. Well, do you believe the Bible? Yeah, because it's true. And the Bible says it's true. No, but it's called faith. It's called revelation. The Bible, yes, it's a book, but it's not an ordinary book. The moment you assume that this book is just like any other, we will lose the revelation of God, we will lose the word of God, and we will lose the faith that was once delivered. So they are looking at themselves as, we are already victorious because of Christ. They were defended. This incarnation is defended by the Church of God, universal. Early Christians defended the body of teachings handed down to them. Remember, it said they did not invent this. Sometimes I say that. I find myself saying that when I witness some of our relatives. Sometimes I say, I did not invent this. Especially, there was a question that was asked of me. And usually this happens because I'm teaching the, believe it or not, the dogma of Roman Catholic. And so, he was asking me about Mary. And so, for those of you who know, Mary is a mediatrix. He's sinless. That's immaculate conception. And so someone asked me about that, about Mary. And do you go to her for grace? And she is the between you and Christ. And so the way I present this is just like the early Christians. This is the body of teaching handed down. I used to try to reason, but then I find myself, you know, you're agreeing, you're talking about the same Mary. And so now I say, no, we are not. And so now I would say, this Mary is not the Mary of the scripture, or the Mary that you are presenting. So we are talking about two different persons, you may say. The Mary of the scripture is this. The Mary that you are portraying is not the Mary of the scripture. Just because we're talking about the same name doesn't mean we are talking about the same person. So at least I got that in the beginning of the conversation. So it gives me a chance to say, do you want to know the Mary of the scripture? Because their first accusation is you don't honor the Mother of God, which is another conversation. But these are handed down to us. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. So yes, early Christians gave us what we call the orthodoxy, the boundaries of Christian faith. The doctrine of Christ, the hypostatic union, probably heard this. It's a Christian teaching that Jesus has two natures, truly God, truly man, in one divine person. These two natures, by the way, we don't invent this. We did not. It was passed down to us. These two natures are united. But here's what Chalcedon summarizes it. Without confusion, without change, he remained divine. Without division, he's one person, but without separation. Again, we don't have that language. We understand those language, right? Confusion, change, division, separation. But their idea goes deeper into this. So what do we have? One person, two natures, united forever. In other words, he is forever a God-man. So what did John say? Here's the dividing line. Why is incarnation central to Christian belief? It's revealed by the Spirit of God, confirmed by the Word of God, believed by the people of God, and they defended it because it is a faith that is passed down to them. It is the faith that is passed down to us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that your Son, without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. That he took upon a human body. That the Lord Jesus Christ left his glory, became a servant, that we may have eternal life through your Son. This morning we have a Lord's Supper that we can remember his broken body and his shed blood. For without those, without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. He became God-man for specific purposes that beyond our comprehension. And so I pray as believers, as a local church, we continue to exalt you and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Again, we defend this faith that is passed down to us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.